and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. What is sex trafficking? What does grooming look like? Does sex trafficking happen in Hawaii? Tani Bitonga offers insight and expertise that can only come from being a survivor of childhood sexual exploitation. She offers perspective as one who has found hope and purpose through Jesus Christ. And yes, it is through Jesus that we find renewal and renewed purpose through his love that was shown to us by his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. Dear friend, do you know that God loves you and knows you no matter what you're facing or what you're going through? But as Tani has experienced, there is always hope in Jesus. And it is our prayer that you would open your heart to the Lord, even as Tani has. Tani Bitonga is the community outreach coordinator of Ho'ola Mapua, an organization committed to the prevention of sex trafficking and providing care for children who have been exploited. Whether on stage as a powerful speaker, behind the scenes as an event organizer, or working with survivors, Tani Bitonga's leadership is evident and inspiring. Tani, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Tani, where did you grow up?
So I mostly grew up on the Windward side in Kailua. But when I was about 16 years old, I was moved to the North Shore. I was in the foster care system. So some of my time I spent out on the North Shore as well.
Well, just take us to that. Let's take some time to share this. Go as deep and as far as we need. Tell me, how did your childhood experiences influence what you do today with Ho'ola Mapua?
Sure. So I was hanaed, which means, you know, in the Hawaiian, like locally we say hanaed, that means like we were given to another family. But I did not know that my family, my dad, was my hanai dad. I thought he was my biological dad up until I was 13 years old. And with that, there was a lot of abuse in our home. And it was sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. And, you know, I just thought that that's who I was and why, you know, why I was where I was. And a lot of the time, it was the abandonment issue that I had with my mom. Like, why did she leave me there? And I struggled a lot in my very early years with that and accepted the way that people would treat me. Like, I wouldn't tell about the sexual abuse. I wouldn't tell about the physical abuse. And so my early days was a lot of heartache. But I wore a mask and I pretended like everything was great. You know, I mean, we lived in Kailua. It was a beautiful house and we had a lot of things. And so most people, when they looked from the outside, they just saw this happy, you know, little hapaholi kid that was, you know, living her best life. And that wasn't the case. There was a lot of sorrow and a lot of pain behind my mask. So at about 13 is when I finally told somebody. And about that time is when I also learned that my dad was not my biological dad. And so another family member had called CPS due to the sexual abuse and the physical abuse, and I got to be removed from my home and put into foster care.
What gave you the courage? Well, what were the circumstances that enabled you to open up and share behind the mask, come out from behind the mask at the age of 13?
Basically, it was motivated by anger. I was so, so angry that my family had lied to me all those years. I was so angry that my dad had lied to me. And then there was a really horrible incident that happened that summer before I went to eighth grade. And so when I went back to school in eighth grade, like my first quarter of eighth grade, I was so angry and I just wanted to be away from my family already. I was so disgusted with the way that I was being treated. And so that was what motivated me to tell of, you know, the abuse. And it didn't stop there though. So I went into foster care and, you know, just trying to fit in and not really having an identity, just being trying to fit in. So like drugs and alcohol became my best friend. And at that time, it was in the mid 70s, a lot of people were doing drugs and a lot of people were, you know, it was kind of that sex, drugs and rock and roll era. And so there wasn't a whole lot of people saying that, oh, you shouldn't be smoking weed or you shouldn't be drinking alcohol or you shouldn't be doing cocaine or, you know, that wasn't really the way that the world was at that time, at least my world. And so life was just a big party, beach, you know, we go beach, then we paddle canoe, then we party. And so I lived that way and, you know, appeared again to be normal. A lot of sexual activity also in my younger years. I didn't have like a very good moral compass, right? Like I didn't know about purity because from the time I was 4 years old, I remember being sexually, I want to say sexually exploited. Yeah. So it wasn't unusual for me to have, you know, multiple partners and boyfriends and such, even at a really young age, like 13, 14. So by the time I was, 15 years old, it was a regular thing for me. And, you know, that's just who I was at the time. And so it just left me to be very vulnerable.
Tammy, this makes us wonder, makes me wonder, in all of this, how did you become a Christian?
So I just went spiraling, you know, for the next 20 years, basically. So at 15 years old, I met a guy that was selling girls. He's a pimp, and I got involved with him, and I started, you know, working for him and doing things, and I got taken off island, and there was just a lot of, you know, we call it being in the game. So I basically was in the game for a little while under pimp control. And so with that, I was able to escape, able to come back to Hawaii, go back to high school, you know, again, wearing a mask, drinking, smoking, doing a lot of drugs, got a boyfriend my senior year. And I ended up hapai, so I gave birth to my son the winter after I graduated. And so then I'm a young mom, and I'm just trying to make it work. I'm trying to make my life normal as can be. But, you know, the bigger picture here in this time of my life when I'm a young mom is that I had so much trauma that wasn't addressed. I had so much abuse that I never talked about. And it just carried over. So my son's dad was also very physically abusive. And then I left that relationship, and I got into another one, and that one was also physically abusive. And then I got into another one, and that one was also physically abusive. So, like, by the time I was 30 years old, I had 3 TROs against 3 different guys. And when I reflect back, you know, I was like this little wild animal, and they were really trying to, like, control me, but they couldn't, right? And so that would always end up in violence. And so as I, you know, continued this crazy life of mine, I would, you know, go back into the game a little bit, and then I would, you know, get a little bit of money. I'd try to get ahead, and then, you know, I'd go back to my straight square life. And all the while, you know, I just was having this dual role in life, like two faces. Like, I was in the game, and then I had a square job, and then I was in the game and I had a square job. And so this went on for a good, from the time I was 15 till the time I was about 34. So almost 20 years of just this crazy dual life. And one day a girlfriend of mine was like, "Hey, Tommy, you know what? You know, you're going to get killed, or somebody, you know, you're going to kill somebody." I had a really bad trick at that time that kept stalking me, and I kept complaining to my friends about him. And, you know, they're like, you know, you got to stop doing that kind of life. So finally, you know, in 1999, one of my friends was like, "Tommy, come on, you got to change your life." And so she's like, "Why don't you come to church with me?" And I was like, "Oh, what? Like, for real, with happy people? Like, no, thanks, man. They're not even going to understand me." And so that's the very beginning of how I became a Christian, is that I did go to church with her, and I did experience the happy people. And those happy people, they really didn't judge me. They really loved me. So I started going to Hope Chapel Olamana, and that's our pastor, our senior pastor is Greg Capelliella. And, you know, he just invited me to serve on his team. And that's really the beginning of my journey, was in 1999.
Wow, Tommy. What an unspeakable journey you have just shared with us about. And on the one hand, I think about Pastor Guy Capelliella and Hope Chapel Olamana, the beacon of hope that they have and then continue to be. But what you've been through, when we come back from our break, let's talk a little bit more about how you became a part of Ho'olenapua, the ministry that you're part of, how you became involved in advocacy. And I think maybe even talk about more specifically sex trafficking and grooming and some of the things that the ministry, the organization that you're with, makes a difference in young people's lives, in the lives of families. Perhaps today, dear friend, as you listen to Tami Bitonga, you have your eyes open to things in ways that you haven't even thought of before. Or maybe you know somebody who is in sex trafficking and needs help. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. Find out more at olonapua.org.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hear me calling,
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Danny Yamashiro here with Ronnie Ka'a'a, my co-host, our guest today, Tami Bitonga. In 2015, Tami assisted with response and awareness training of Department of Human Service, law enforcement, and first responders. She's also undergone several trainings on survival leadership through Shared Hope International. And if you're tuning in right now, or maybe just caught the tail end of the last segment, you've got to hear what she's been through, what she lived with growing up from the age of four and for decades, Tammy Bitangwa. Tammy, you're with the organization Ho'olunapua. And by the way, you can find out more about Ho'olunapua at ho'olunapua.org. Tammy, Lonnie's got some questions that she's going to ask. Before she does, tell us or describe for us, what is sex trafficking?
So by federal definition, sex trafficking is a commercial sex act induced by force, fraud, or coercion, and you have not attained the age of 18. So automatic if a child is shown to be trading sex for something of value, basically money, a place to stay, food, shelter, any of that, that is sex trafficking. If you're an adult, then you would need to say that somebody forced you, they fraudulently coerced you into that lifestyle. Yeah, that's the definition. So when, you know, if you talk about, you know, there's sex trafficking in Hawaii, oftentimes people will get this vision of boats or planes or foreigners or, you know, that type of thing. But it could literally be a tent in a homeless camp or a family member bringing or taking the juvenile, the youth to, you know, perform a sex act, and then they're benefiting from that. So, I mean, it's really as simple as that, and also very common if we think about it. It's not just your typical, you know, vision of a streetwalker or a massage parlor or an escort service.
Tammy, I know that, you know, when we hear that, for many of us, we distance ourselves and feel that it's happening in some tourist zone or, you know, certain spaces, but really it's next door. It's in our communities. I know you became a part of Ho'olunapua pretty much since its infancy. And before we go on in questions, I just want to make mention that you have been on our show before. And for our audience who has not heard the more deeper discussion about Tammy's testimony, please go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and search for Tammy, and you'll hear her story because it's extremely powerful. But just having gone through what you've been through and what the Lord has done in your life, when did you become a part of Ho'olunapua?
So about 10 years in walking with the Lord, I had gone to an Arise conference. And at that time, it was Hope Chapel, West Oahu. And it was put on by Pastor Lisa Kai. And they were, you know, set up booths in the lobbies. And people were, you know, those vendors, some of them were in the anti-trafficking movement. And so I thought, oh, well, what is that? And, you know, they had some breakout sessions and they talked about, you know, minor domestic sex trafficking. And I was, you know, interested in hearing what that was. So I went to that session and I thought, oh, that's really something. And then I didn't do anything. But the following year, I went back to the same conference, Arise Conference. And this time so for my ministry that I was involved with, the women's ministry at Hope Chapel Olamana, I got to do the community outreach that year. Like, what were we going to do for the community? And so I thought, okay, let's just do a fundraiser for them and bring awareness and show this film that they had called Sex and Money, and let's bring some awareness into our community. And so I did that. That's initially how I got involved. And then I went to training with them on the mainland. And during the training, I had heard a survivor. Her name is Leah. And she spoke about her victimization and how she was lured into the game. And, you know, that at that moment is when I realized that I was actually a victim, because up until that time, and I was in my 40s by then, I didn't look at myself as a victim. I looked at myself as somebody who made a bad choice when I was 15 years old, and I was suffering from those bad choices, you know, and it wasn't, it wasn't clear to me up until that point that I was actually a victim of sex trafficking, because for one, we didn't have the language of sex trafficking when I was 15 years old. And that, I think a lot of times when I talk to young people today, many of them self-blame, and they think it's their fault that they're in a situation. So, you know, that's really one of the main motivations for me, is that I don't want victims to feel like it's their fault, yeah? And so basically that's how I got involved with Ho'olanapua. And I was a volunteer for them for 6 years prior to coming on staff. So I've been on staff for almost, this is going to be almost 3 years now.
Yeah. I do want to pause right there, because I do think you hit on something that's so critical in any, you know, for anyone, especially in sex trafficking, when you're young. And you talked about the difference that it finally hits you that you were a victim. What is really the difference between who you felt you were prior to that and you being able to realize, if is that the right word, or accept that you were a victim? Can you go deeper and talk about that?
For sure. And you know, the realization and the accepting, it has taken me a bit. It has taken me a minute, because even when I heard the survivor speak, then I accepted that I was a victim. And then I also accepted that I was a survivor of something horrific. When you think about what sex trafficking entails, and when I would reflect back on the things that my trafficker, my pimp, would do to me in order to have me be compliant, or in order for me to get the money that he wanted, I kind of am like, who was that girl, right? Because I'm such a different human today. And so oftentimes in the very beginning, when I finally have this realization of that I was a victim, I would sometimes tell Jessica. So Jessica Munoz is our founder of Ho'olanapua, and it was her vision that started, you know, Ho'olanapua, that there needed to be a safe place for girls to come to heal. And in Hawaii, we don't really have a designated place for girls who've been sex trafficked to come to heal. So that's the, you know, that's the where Ho'olanapua came about. But I would tell her sometimes, like, oh, yeah, my pimp, he wasn't that bad to me, because, like, he never did beat me up. And then she would say to me, Tammy, he put you on the track and your life was in danger every single time that happened to you. And so, you know, just like over and over realizing that every time I was turning a trick, and my quota, it was like, you know, it wasn't small. It wasn't small change, right? I'm over here, like, doing a lot of things to get a lot of money. And so when I think about that, like, who was that girl and how dangerous was the life that I was living? I think to myself, I have survived some horrible things. I've survived just horrible things. And I can only know that God is with me even then, even when I didn't know him, right? He was still with me and there was a purpose. And so when I come out of it today, and I realize, like, there were so many times that I should not have made it. I should not have come out of that situation. You know, there, it's very, very violent. That lifestyle is very, very violent. And oftentimes what we call is disassociate. And so you just don't even, like, it's kind of like an out of body experience where you're not even there in order to get through it. And so during these times that I've had to reflect and accept the fact, you know, that I was a victim of something, but I have survived it. And today I thrive, right? I don't want to say I am a survivor and my worth is only in my story. My worth is only in what I've experienced. I am thriving on the other side of that. And I am a voice, and I am also amplifying the voices of those who have not been able to yet find their own voice, but I am not trying to steal their voice. And I think a lot of times in this movement, we are not listening to survivors, and so we don't know how to help them. So that is really what motivates me today, is that I want to make sure that survivors are heard, that you can't tell me what I need, but I can tell you what I need. And sometimes we don't know what we need, right? But we need space. We just need a space to find out what we need. Yeah. So as community comes along.
We need to take a quick break. I wish we didn't have to, because I know how important this is. I just want to pause, because there are people that are listening today. Maybe they're thinking back on their childhood and wondering the same things about some of the things, the horrors that they've experienced. And I thank you for giving them the hope and the clarity to know that there's victimization, but there's also survivorship. And because of Jesus, you can thrive. And when we come back, I do want to talk a lot more about what Ho'olanapua is doing in our community, giving that space to victims so that they can find their voice, not telling them what their voice should be today. And then just sharing, I think, some of the ways that our community can get involved, some of the signs and the symptoms that we should be looking for so that we can help our young people in this area. So very important. We are with Tammy Bitanga today. She's a survivor of sex trafficking, but more importantly, she's a thriver.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hear me calling,
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, we're back here in studio with Tammy Bitanga today. She is the Community Outreach Coordinator for Ho'olanapua. If you want more information about what Ho'olanapua does, you can go to ho'olanapua.org. Tammy, we were just talking about survivorship and how you have become someone who thrives because Jesus saved you. You talked about in the last segment the purpose he saved you for. Tell us more about what you mean by that.
Yeah, so I always think like, I don't want God to have, recovered me from this crazy life that I had and then I don't do anything with it, right? Like, I want to make sure that I'm grounded and I have balance in my life and that I am being useful. And, I'm a mom, so I already have that, right? Like, I know how to be a mom. And so I'm naturally nurturing. I'm a wife. So, of course, I'm like, do the laundry, take care of everybody and all that kind of stuff too, right? But what God allowed, because I used to say like, why me? Why did this have to happen to me? like, especially when I was really young and just in foster care, because it was horrible, right? Like, the transition, like, I'm the one who got taken out of my house, not my family. I'm the one who got removed. And so, like, I didn't have the things that my sister had anymore. I didn't have the things my mom had. I didn't have the things my dad had. So I was always about, like, why me? Why does this have to happen to me? And I used to ask the Lord that as I started walking my Christian journey, you know, I'd say, why God, why did that have to, why was I the dirty girl? Why did I have to be that yucky girl? Why did I have? And then a few years ago, like, I guess probably more than that, like 8 years ago or so, I had like this really revelation that God showed me. He was like, because I knew you could handle it, and I knew you were strong, and I knew you were going to come back. It wasn't about, like, why me? It was about, what are you going to do with it now that you're out of it, now that you're recovered, now that you're sober, now that you know me, now that you know the power that you have, because I walk in authority today. I am not a broken child in the corner. I am a strong, powerful, mighty warrior princess for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what am I going to do with that? So I'm going to come and I'm going to war and I'm going to fight and I'm going to do what he calls me to do. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. And that's who I get to be today. I'm not the broken child in the corner asking why me.
Tell me, what are the signs and symptoms of trafficking? Maybe talk a little bit about grooming. What does grooming look like?
Sure. So any child under the age of 18 is vulnerable, right? When we think about it, like, you're under the age of 18, you walk to school alone, you have a computer or a smartphone, you're attracted to consumer goods, like, you know, you like nice things. You may have been physically or emotionally neglected. There might be a history of molestation. You know, you might feel misunderstood or not wanted. So those are vulnerabilities, you know. When we think about risk factors, we think about the things that a lot of the children go through. Like, there is homelessness. There is access to technology. There is past trauma. There is substance abuse. Children that run away, we know that they are approached. You know, so those are the types of things that that we see in, you know, in this movement where, you know, who are the victims? Like, it can be anybody. It can be anybody from a private school, a public school, a home school. So when we talk about that, you know, like, what are the vulnerabilities? There are so many things. When we are looking for identifying markings or identification of somebody who has been trafficked, we're going to be looking for possible red flags such as no identification, no personal possession. If somebody changes their behavior drastically, if they have unexplainable injuries, if they, you know, overdose and there's no explanation. Sometimes we'll see excess jewelry or excess new clothes. Sometimes girls will, and boys, so let's not forget about the boys who are being trafficked in Hawaii as well. But we also see, you know, sometimes they start to self-harm, right? So it's all of these symptoms, and you want to ask, not why do you do this? You know, why are you doing this to yourself? It's, you know, like, what's happening? You know, you want to get below and not just treat the symptom, right? Like, you don't want to just, like, treat the self-harming. It's like, why are they self-harming? So, you know, asking those types of questions. And it's a bigger thing than just asking the questions. Like, we have to, like, address the trauma, address what's happening to these young people.
There are four pillars of Ho'olonapua. What are those four pillars?
So we, so let me think about this. So
oh,
we have,
Tammy. Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, we have changed some of our, the ways in which that we speak of things, but basically we want to be able to hear, yeah? So health, education, advocacy, and reintegration are the four pillars that, we have. So within those four pillars are the different programs that we have. So we do mentoring. We do group activities within the different facilities that children are being housed. And then we have the advocacy piece, which means like we go into the community and we educate those first responders, educators, you know, physicians, doctors, you know, all of the people that are actually may be in contact with victims. We want to educate them as to like, what does that look like? What does a victim look like? And then what is the response? And then the reintegration piece is partially like, how do we reintegrate children back into the community? But Pearl Haven is also a big piece of our work.
Say more about that.
So Pearl Haven is our residential treatment facility. So it's the Bromley Family Foundation Pearl Haven treatment campus. So it is a place where children will be able to go for comprehensive treatment. And it is not like a 30-day program. We would like them to stay anywhere from, you know, 9 months to a year. And we want to make sure that they have all the tools that they need in order to move on. So there will be education, there'll be family therapy and support, nutrition, medical services, psychiatric services, there'll be art therapy, dance, drama, and, you know, life skills. And it's really a place for them to get, like, a whole comprehensive, holistic healing process. So that is, 20,000 square feet building. It's, it's an incredible project. And we thought it was going to be a home, right? We thought it was going to be, you know, a house for like six girls. But this project has, you know, the need is there. So at full capacity, we'll have 32 residents. It's such a need in Hawaii for us to be able to have this place for girls to heal.
I'm intrigued by this idea of starfish mentoring, and I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that. What is starfish mentoring?
Absolutely. So we have a program manager, and she has volunteers on her team, male and female. At the moment, we have 30-plus mentors, and what they do is they meet with their mentees for about 2 hours a week. We ask for a whole year commitment. We put the mentors through a lot of intensive training, and so they are very well aware of some of the things that these children have gone through. And we don't serve just children that have been trafficked, we also serve those that are at risk or high risk children. So, you know, if they've been running away a lot, if they're truant, if the, you know, the parent gives a referral that they've, you know, have different types of behavioral problems, we believe that having a mentor in your life, a trusting adult, will help you to navigate your life. And so that's what we provide. And we are about preventing, right? We don't want children to be sexually exploited. So if we're able to intervene in that way and have, you know, a trusting adult in their life, we hope that that will, you know, that will intervene in that way, and they will not ever have to suffer the consequences of being trafficked.
Well, I appreciate, we appreciate the long-term vision that Ho'olenapua has for those children who have been exploited, who have been victimized, but towards restoration and hope. And Tammy, your involvement has been so critical. I do remember, as Lonnie has mentioned, you and Jessica Munoz being with us, sharing, it was an incredible story on her part, yours, and then we had Tiffany Ohuna, who was also there in that, the three of you there for that show. You can find out more about Tammy and Ho'olenapua at ho'olenapua.org. When we come back from our break, our final segment, a personal word from Tammy, especially as we think about how COVID impacted the services of Ho'olenapua now, this past year, and going forward, that and more, and a time of prayer. I can't think of a more important thing for us to do at this time than to pray for you, pray for your family, pray for the situation that you might be in, where hope is needed. Ho'olenapua brings hope and new beginnings, and we'd like to share the love of Christ in this way, through prayer, with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, this is Lonnie. I'm in studio with Danny Yamashiro and our guest today, Tammy Bitanga. She's a community outreach coordinator for Ho'olenapua. If you'd like to hear this entire radio program, you can go to our website at www.thegoodlifehawaii.com, and you can hear the entire story about Tammy, her life's work, truly dedicated to the prevention of sex trafficking here in Hawaii and beyond. Tammy, in the last segment, we did talk about this mentoring program and the importance of, you know, really coming alongside our at-risk youth and those who have experienced sex trafficking. You know, in this last year, I wonder how difficult or challenging has it been to continue the services through this time of social distancing and our lockdowns?
Yeah, so it's been quite difficult, and what we really ramped up our advocacy program during this COVID time, and we serve multiple adult women. We did receive a little bit extra grant funds to provide for them, such as childcare, gas, changing tires, food, rental assistance, like those kinds of things. COVID really hit them hard. And what we don't want is for women who've been out of the game for a while to go back into it. So we really ramped up our advocacy program, and we were able to do some care coordinating for adult victims. And then our education. So we did complimentary webinars weekly webinars, so educating teachers and educating, you know, people, you know, that are staying home, that, you know, students that are at home. We were able to really ramp up our complimentary weekly webinars. Our HOKU program, so I didn't really touch too much on that, but our HOKU program is our group services that go into the different facilities. I did mention it a tiny bit, but we did not stop our HOKU groups. We would do them, we will do them, and we still are doing them via WebEx or Zoom, and a little by little we're being able to go back in person. But those programs are provided in different facilities where youth are being housed, and they're 2 hours a week. So we go in to these facilities via Zoom or WebEx, and we serve the kids. We do activities with them. It's empowering. We're about resiliency and about healthy relationships, and that's what the HOKU services are able to provide, and we have not stopped doing that. And the mentoring program, the mentors were able to meet with their kids when possible, face-to-face. If not, they would, you know, talk on the phone or they would do a Zoom call. One of our mentors even got really creative and they got an app, a gaming app, where the both of them could play games together. So there, we just got very creative in the ways in which that we were able to continue to serve our young people. And then, of course, Pearl Haven has not stopped. The construction on Pearl Haven has gone forward. We have not had a pause. And we are set to open in 2021, and we will serve children from 11 to 17 years old. And like I said a little earlier, we'd like them to stay from anywhere from 9 months to a year in order for them to, you know, receive their healing and be empowered to move on to the next phase of their life. So COVID, yes, has thrown us a curveball, but, you know, it has not stopped trafficking either. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's still, you know, we have, we get calls on our helpline. We had to initiate actually a helpline so that we could field the calls, because there are parents that are calling, there's victims that are calling, and they need help. And so, you know, the national line is, the national hotline is Polaris, and we, you know, oftentimes most of the time we will refer them to Polaris so that they can get some services that they need. But if they have questions, we can field those questions and help connect them to services within our community. So it's been really, really, you know, very, our work has not slowed down none at all. It's actually ramped up through COVID.
You know, before we start, I don't want to miss the opportunity for you to share how someone listening today can get involved as a mentor or in the education process. I just don't want to miss that chance. Can you share with our audience, maybe someone out there is being tugged, how can they
absolutely
get involved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is our passion as a community outreach coordinator. That is one of my number one things that I'm always looking for, is people in the community to get involved with us. And so as far as the mentoring, we do mentor interest meetings every first Thursday of the month. And you can contact us at info@ho'olanapua.org to get connected to our Starfish mentoring manager, so that, you know, you can, there's a lot of paperwork that is involved, and really having the heart for young people. 2 hours a week for a year commitment is what we're asking for. We do have some training that is involved, so it's definitely not just, oh, I'm just going to do this one thing. It's very much so a commitment. As far as like volunteering for things, we have really slowed down in our community events, but we will have going forward. I'm very, very hopeful that this year will be creative and we will have more public events that we can get volunteers involved with.
Yeah. Tammy, we're just about out of time. And, you know, I'd really like to ask you if you would pray for someone mm-hmm. out there,
for
whatever the Lord is tugging as they hear your testimony and your cry for help, would you lead us in a time of prayer?
Yeah. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. I thank you for this time that you have set apart for us to come together and collectively give a shout out for your glory, God, that you have taken my mess and made it into a message. And I'm so grateful, Father, that you would use the voice that I have today. Father, I ask that you would ignite a spark in our community, that they would be able to come forward and join. It's really about the village. It's really about all of us coming together. It's really about casting the net out there in order for us to be able to help. It's not, we can't do this alone, Lord. We know that we need everybody's help. Father, I also ask that anybody who has felt that they have been exploited in some way or another, mm-hmm. that they would come forward and they would ask for the help that they need, Lord, that mm-hmm. they wouldn't be ashamed or they would stay pressed down. Father, I pray that they would rise up out of that muck and they would know that they are important and they are needed in this movement and that there is a healing waiting for them, that they don't have to stay stuck in that muck. So, Father, I ask that you would rise up your people from every area of this life that we get to live in Hawaii, that everybody would rise up and they would come forward to help us. And we thank you, God, and we ask for a shelter, a hedge of protection over all of us in the movement, Lord, that we would not become weary, that we would stand strong, mm-hmm. and we would just keep moving forward. And we thank you for this time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you for sharing your heart with us, your prayers, and for the insights and wisdom that you provide. We're grateful for you.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity. I'm really, really glad that that I can just come and share and, you know, talk story and really get the message out there. It's not I don't have any letters behind my name or I'm not a professional, but, you know, being able to live this journey out and just give glory to God in it, I'm grateful.
Amen. Heartfelt words from Tammy Vitanga, holonapua.org. Your friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifeboy.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special video there for you. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifeboy.com and click Partners. We thank you in advance. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Tammy Vitanga, ho'olunapua.org. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Lani Ka'a, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.